3HL with Brent Daugherty and Don Davenport.
The Zone, Brent Daugherty, Don Davenport with you until 6 o'clock. Well, Tennessee did it. They ripped the Band-Aid off Don Davenport. They fired Jeremy Pruitt for cause, and that's not where it stops.
Cause, yes.
I was in Florida. One of my kids had a football recruiting thing that he did at IMG Academy, which, by the way, is unbelievable campus, as you might imagine. But anyway, we were flying back today, and so – I mean, right as we're about to take off, I had like multiple people tell me it's done. Jeremy Pruitt's going to be gone. And so then you go in the air and you try to get the internet to work. And even though you pay for it, sometimes it doesn't work real well and all of those things. And so then somebody tells me that, that two assistant coaches got fired for cause as well. So I go to Twitter and put that out there. So we had that. It's been a crazy day in terms of the magnitude of what Tennessee did. So they fired Jeremy Pruitt for cause. That won't come as a shock to anybody that has paid any attention to this. Chris Lowe said it publicly
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
That he had a hard time envisioning a scenario where Jeremy Pruitt made it. But Brian Niedermayer, inside linebackers coach, and Shelton Felton, the outside linebackers coach, also got fired for cause, and seven other staffers. So a total of 9 coaches or members of that program fired. The AD, Philip Fulmer, steps away. I mean, this is a massive thing. Now,
retiring.
Philip Fulmer's retiring, and that it has nothing to do with, the investigation. And Philip Fulmer today put it this way. He said, look, the new AD needs to hire a coach that's going to be here for 10 years, right? Tennessee needs a coach that's going to sustain, to last. And he said, I believe that we will find that guy. 10 years from now, I'll be 80. I'm not going to be AD. So it's time to move on. And that makes a lot of sense. Honestly.
It does. And it was interesting, too. Remember, 2 weeks ago, Chris Lowe also said this about Philip Fulmer. I think regardless of what happens, he's done. He's tired. He's he wanted to come in and make Tennessee a better place, kind of help to restore it to its old glory. And it's a lot of work to do that. So you kind of saw the writing on the wall if you listened to Chris Lowe 2 weeks ago when it came to Philip Fulmer as well.
Yep. And if you've listened to this show, I mean, we've been all over that. Chancellor Plowman,
I talked
today.
To him too after or prior to that Vanderbilt Tennessee game. Remember, I came back and told you, I'm like, man, I'm telling you, that was just a weird conversation. I feel like he's done. So there you go.
Tennessee says on November 13th, it was given information suggesting serious NCAA violations. The university notified the NCAA of an active NCAA investigation that was ongoing on campus. Tennessee says it concluded that the NCAA will likely find that Pruitt failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance within the football program. Tennessee said to Pruitt in his termination letter, quote, your failures, this is terse. Your failures are likely to lead to significant penalties to the university and has jeopardized the eligibility of our student athletes, end quote. Chancellor Plowman also saying this, Don, what's disturbing is the number of violations and the number of people involved. She also pointed out that the people involved tried to hide their actions from compliance. And you know what happens when the cover up is sometimes worse than the act. Well, the acts were pretty bad too, but it all gets put into a puzzle. And now Tennessee is looking for an athletics director first. They made that clear today. And then a head football coach. So Kevin Steele is interim's not the word they used. Acting head coach.
Yes.
So now Kevin Steele has been an SEC head coach at two different schools in the same month. He's having a hell of a 2021.
And right? Two like pretty prominent SEC programs too, yeah. In Auburn and Tennessee. There you go.
Where else could he go? I mean,
good maybe job, Steel.
Maybe Tennessee hires a coach and it's a defensive minded guy. And he doesn't really need Kevin Steele. And then Dan Mullen, like some NFL job pops open and Dan Mullen goes to the NFL. And then Kevin Steele goes to Florida to become the interim head coach there. And then he could be like three SEC coaches in one quarter. That'd be amazing. But that's where Tennessee is. So looking for an AD, we talked with Chris Lowe earlier. You can get that on the podcast portion of the website or wherever you get your podcasts. Definitely rate, review, subscribe, 3HL. But Chris Lowe saying it's not going to be pretty. He talked about a postseason bowl ban, which, you know, I mean, how big a deal is that? But I don't know. But he also mentioned a loss of scholarships. So with that hanging over the head of the program, makes it harder to find a head coach. He also said he thinks the AD search will get done quickly. And he said, if I'm Tennessee, I call the 662 area code. Go see if Lane Kiffin has any interest. And I know that Lane Kiffin had interest the last time around. So why not?
But would he have interest now with what he has going already in Oxford? I don't know. You know what area code I would call? 513 ASAP. Do you want me to tell you so you don't have to Google what area code that is?
Yeah, because I've got a desktop in front of me, a laptop. My phone is charging. Hit me. 513. Is Louisiana?
Cincinnati, baby.
Like I said, Cincinnati. Same geographical area.
I think they have two area codes, but that is one of them. Cincinnati.
I don't think they have any chance at Luke Fickell.
But you go all in on that. You put the number on that as higher than it should be. And you go all in on that.
Listen, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's off the payroll. Butch is coming off the payroll.
Yeah, seriously, $12.8 million is what they just saved by firing Jeremy Pruitt with cause. Actually, more than that, because his assistants altogether, it was going to be $18.7 million or something ridiculous that they were going to have to pay in buyouts. Oh, no. A ton of that is cleared. You're good there. Butch comes off the payroll next week. Yeah, those two are definitely off the payroll. And then that 12.7, 12.8 of Jeremy Pruitt, clear.
Skip on Twitter. You can hit us there anytime at 3HL1045. What's so awful is they did all this and they still sucked at football. I mean, it's a great
three wins.
Yeah. One word, Buddy is on line two. Buddy.
Buddy.
Are you in the mood for another Tennessee head football coaching search?
Well, I'll tell you who I would go after. You may disagree with me. I'd go after that little pimp down in Mississippi. That's who I'd go after because I think he's a good coach. I don't like the idea, but who else we going to get?
Well, the little pimp, as you called him, is no longer in Mississippi. He's at a religious school called Liberty.
Oh, excuse me.
I thought he was talking about Lane Kiffin.
I'm ready for a coach and an AD to win some football games. And we don't need to be cheating.
You don't care how they do it either, do you?
I don't care. If we should have went and got that guy from Arkansas, had them blondes on the back of the motorcycle, and we'd had a winning season already.
Bobby Petrino. All right, so you're going after all of the illegal dudes.
Well, I'm just ready to win some football games. I'm tired of my phone every weekend ringing off the wall. All these freaking Alabama people calling me and everything. I'm sick of it. I'm ready to win some football games.
Do your friends really call you up and talk trash?
Yeah. Yeah. They call me every Saturday. Every Saturday. And even other night when that team down south was playing, my phone rung off the wall.
Oh my God,
Buddy!
If we could just win one ball game, I'd be tickled to death next year.
I know.
And that'd be Alabama.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I know that. Well, y'all, I'm glad to talk to you. Y'all have a good night. Okay.
Hey, real quick, I'm really curious. Who are you for watching Alabama and Ohio State?
Who you think?
Well, I know you Ohio State. State. You don't like the Big Ten either, do you?
I'd pull for China before I pull for Alabama.
That's the quote of the day.
See you, buddy.
Rack him. We love you, buddy.
Love y'all.
I'd pull for China.
China.
Before I'd pull for Alabama. That's where we are. It's going to be a fun search. We'll be right back. Buck Rising next. Bridge Allen, 104.5 The Zone. Brent Norton, Don Davenport with you. Where is Buck Rising? Are we supposed to have Buck Rising now? Yes, maybe his alarm didn't go off again. That happened one other time. Tennessee has relieved itself of Jeremy Pruitt, is one way I guess I could put it.
An interesting way to put it.
Well, I mean, you know, I think I said earlier that they lobbed their collective heads off today. Firing 9 people and an AD retires?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as Chris Lowe said, I don't think I've ever seen anybody go at themselves that hard.
Well, and we'll see how much that helps them or hurts them, because I guess reports out that there were numerous violations, including level 1 violations that were found throughout this investigation. But how much does the fact that Tennessee has acted help them when it comes to NCAA, you know, drop down they're going to put on Tennessee? We'll see. My response was, you just never know when it comes to the NCAA. Hey, look who it is. Let me intro this guy with this. This is Buck Rising from A to Z Sports joining us. So I likened Buck the Tennessee kind of like fan base's mentality on their football program to the Indiana basketball mentality. Like kind of a similar thing. So Buck is an IU grad. You look at Indiana and you think our basketball program is phenomenal and we're great and we're wonderful and because of the history there, right? In reality, you guys haven't been great in a long time.
That's not what I think at all. In fact, I have literally just jumped from a Zoom with our friend Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel discussing this very matter for my podcast. That will go out tomorrow. It is the exact same. I've been saying that the juxtaposition is so dead on between Indiana basketball and Tennessee football since the moment I got here and heard the first Brick by Brick. Like Butch Jones is Tom Crean. Indiana fans think that they should be among college basketball's elite when they haven't mattered still since long before that I was born. Bobby Knight is just an angry old man shaking his fist at anybody that would try to get him come back to Assembly Hall. To me, it means nothing to the modern day Indiana fan. And listen, Tennessee fans, like I've had a lot of fun today trolling people on Twitter, and I'm sure many of them hate me as a result. But I legitimately do feel for them because it's just this never-ending cycle of crap time and time again. And then you watch the press conference for them today. I know that's not the thing that I'm here to talk about, but you watch the press conference for them today with Philip Fulmer. And oh my God, when he starts talking about how good the recruiting's been.
Yeah.
And you fired 9 guys for recruiting violations. He probably, it's kind of like Drew Brees throwing to Alvin Kamara last night. The second he let go of that, he wanted it back.
I was howling watching that. Like, oh, the lack of self-awareness, it just perfectly embodies everything that everybody in this audience who loves this program, this college football program, this proud history of college football tradition that the Tennessee Volunteers are supposed to represent. I was texting with Jonathan Crompton, who played for the Vols earlier today, and he goes, I'm sickened. And I know so many.
Well, at least he had an emotion. At least he had an emotion. A lot of people are like,
numb. My argument is,
look, over the course of the last 12 years, what's been some of the most entertaining things in sports in this area? UT coaching searches is up there, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, listen, had Titans AFC championship run. You have UT coaching, sir. I mean, it's up there.
Oh, my God. Yes. Listen, and I do not want to, you know, it's tough to celebrate somebody losing their job and nobody's celebrating the losses of jobs, even though, you know, you get fired for cause you did something wrong. But it's the thing that's going to get me through the rest of the Titans offseason. Like, this is about to be lit and I cannot wait for what kind of debauchery results in another Tennessee coaching search. the fifth in 12 years. It is so incredible how they find themselves in this spot again.
Look, lots of people make fun of the Tennessee fan base, and you know, for good reason. I don't want any of that coming from you, though. A guy who dressed up as a banana to support Indiana basketball.
That's true.
I made it in the Athletic. The history of my drunken foray behind the basket as Christian Watford hit the game-winning shot to knock Anthony Davis and car salesman John Calipari out as the number one team in the country while I was sedated with much grape Karkov in my system. It is now chronicled in the history of forever, courtesy of Bob Kravitz of the Athletic. So shout
out to him. And when people watch that video, they'll also notice everyone in the building just went nuts when that shot went in, and you didn't react at all.
Except for the yellow banana.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the yellow banana. Just sitting there sedated.
There's a song. I want to be sedated. All right, so Tennessee coaching search. How about Lane Kiffin? You want to go down the Lane train in Knoxville?
Oh, sign me the hell up. Are you kidding me?
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Oh, what? I mean, but in all seriousness, like, because – You have to look at where they are as a program, and I know a lot of people who are listening to this would find it blasphemous for people to say, well, the Tennessee job is not a good job right now, but it's going to limit the number of candidates that you can get to come in for this job because of the pending NCAA violations that they're about to get hit with. Auburn just got dissuaded from hiring Hugh Freeze and ending up with Brian Harsin for the exact same thing. And that wasn't even related to their football program. It's because their basketball program is under investigation. Maybe Lane Kiffin would consider a job of this magnitude simply off ego alone. And given his history with the Tennessee fan base and the Tennessee program, I don't know. It's a really hard sell. But if he has any interest, even remotely, you go all in for this man. Sign me up for the Lane train.
I would make the argument at look at what he has in Oxford and what he is building and has already established there. I mean, let's talk about it. If you have a kid who plays offense in high school, who is a stud, and you're looking in the SEC, take out Alabama. Who do you want your kid to go play for? Who do you want your kid to go play in that offense in the SEC right now? Because every day my answer is Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss.
Based on the sample size that you saw throughout the course of his first year, why wouldn't you? I mean,
with that quarterback coming back.
1,000%. They look like they are having so much fun. And listen, they made Alabama's defense look in shambles when they played earlier in the year. It was incredible. Now, obviously, Alabama's defense got substantially better throughout the course of the year. Nick Saban was very, very upset at the end of that game. But nobody sells it better than Lane Kiffin does. Like, Mike Leach is a character, the pirate, on and on. But there's obviously issues with the personality and the character that Mike Leach is up against Lane Kiffin, who understands how to converse with people, you know, who are high school kids coming into college with college kids in a way that is eminently relatable just based on his behavior on social media. And I know it's taboo, and I know it bothers some people, and I know he comes off as a troll. So what? That's what young kids will gravitate towards. They want to have fun. They want a coach who's going to work with them in more of a partnership type situation rather than your stereotypical, you know, I'm your boss, even though you're unpaid college football coach.
I mean, the guy wore an A.J. Brown jersey off the bus when they were about to play Mississippi State because A.J. Brown is from Starkville and ended up at Ole Miss. That was a huge deal. Hugh Freeze is the one that got him to come out of Starkville and not sign with Mississippi State and go to Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin is that professional of a troll to wear an AJ Brown Titans jersey off the bus to that game. I mean, he's brilliant.
My My side gig is Tennessee Titans reporter. My full-time job is paid internet troll. And I so appreciate the job that Lane Kiffin does as a professional troll. I have a great deal of respect for the man. I don't think he'll come back. I mean, there's probably a number that would get him to come to Tennessee, but I don't think there's enough money right now. Even though they're getting off the hook by not having to pay the buyouts for
guys
that fired for cause.
That's huge.
And Butch Jones off the payroll in February. They got money to throw around, man. It's like Pac-Man at a strip club. I mean, it's about to get live up in Knoxville.
Oh, yeah. Just not the kind of live that Pac-Man does that can lead to a bodily injury.
Poll question today on the 3HL account. Which Super Bowl matchup do you want to see? Buck Rising from A to Z Sports, our guest. Tampa Bay versus Buffalo or Kansas City? Green Bay versus Buffalo or Kansas City? What do you got? What do you think?
I think I'm the only person listening to this that's probably rooting for Tom Brady. Like, I love the
Are you kidding me?
I love because it's born out of pure spite for Bill Belichick, the way that this man at 43 years old is going to will himself. And yes, he has an incredibly talented team around him. The defense played out of their mind yesterday, even though Drew Brees looks to be quite a bit washed.
Can't throw the football, man. That was scary stuff yesterday. It was almost like watching Ben Roethlisberger at the end of the season where I came away saying, that dude's done. Drew Brees is done. We all know it. But, man, you really saw it there.
It was pretty jarring just based off the caliber of quarterback that we have known Drew Brees to be throughout the course of his career. And it's been trending this way all season long. Like, I know nobody listening to this probably is watching Saints games day in and day out, but like, if you go back and watch the film on them, the greatest issue has been, can the offense sustain this way with Drew kind of fading at the end? And then Tom Brady does what he does and makes it looked so effortless, even though he was under pressure, and I thought the Saints defense did a good job taking away the quick game. But I love the idea of Tom in a Super Bowl, and I cannot get enough for the Buffalo Bills. Like, it's the feel-good story of the year in the NFL with Bills Mafia and Lamar Jackson getting knocked out of the playoff game and Bills Mafia donating all kinds of money to his charity of choice as a means to kind of comfort him from getting knocked out in the playoff game with a concussion. Like, there's just so many good storylines for both of those teams. And I think it would be much, much bigger for Aaron Rodgers to get a second Super Bowl than it would for Tom Brady to get, his seventh. But I do think I just cannot get enough of the Tom Brady storylines, and he makes it interesting and compelling every time he's on television.
Part of me wants to see the Bills win it all, just to see what the Bills Mafia does the night after winning a Super Bowl. I mean,
if only we weren't in COVID to see that.
They're not cared. They're not going to care.
They're I think
jumping out of trees into tables and downing fifths of vodka. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
See, what I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but I think that the global pandemic can keep Bills fans to a degree from inflicting too much bodily harm unto themselves. Uh-huh. Because, Dawn, I swear to you, when they were here, what was that, last season in Nashville, and that poor kid went flying off the pedestrian bridge, missed the folding table that he was trying to jump through, and just skidded his face across the concrete in a way that literally made, like, Jonathan Crompton was sick to his stomach watching Phil Fulmer today. That was the feeling in the pit of my stomach watching that Bills fan just absolutely. I mean, thank God he ended up being okay, although I don't know what the long-term effects of that. But I think that the lack of being able to gather in mass will help keep Bills fans safe to a degree.
Buck Rising, A to Z Sports. So the poll question results, in case people are wondering, 40% of y'all want to see Green Bay and Kansas City. 29% want to see Green Bay and Buffalo. So that's almost 70% want Green Bay in that game. 13% Tampa, Kansas City, 18% Tampa and Buffalo. Ice Cube wrote about the Buffalo Bills after they lost their second Super Bowl in a row. And he said, "I won't choke like the Buffalo Bills," in a song called Wicked. You can go check it out. Old school. And then this is how great Ice Cube was. Then the Bills lost the next Super Bowl too. So when you timestamp something in a rap and it still survives the next year, that's pretty good. That's strong.
Oof. It survived much longer than the next year. It continues to echo throughout eternity. It's why Bills fans are naked in the streets, because they've won a playoff game for the first time in the better part of two decades. Listen, I think it's good. I think the Bills, the way that they're constructed, and it's going to be huge because, you know, we haven't talked about Arthur Smith getting a head coaching job in Atlanta, but Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Bills, he's going to be in Buffalo next year as a result of the team making it as far as they have in the head coaching vacancies, largely around the NFL being filled up to this point. There are still the two worst that remain, Philadelphia and the Houston Texans. But I think, I mean, the Bills, what Sean McDermott has been able to do there has been so impressive from, and I know the things, the cliches like culture and all of these football coach speak things that we get fed as a means of legitimate like answers to questions that we have about things going on in the NFL. But that dude has done such an incredible job kind of pivoting from what the Buffalo Bills have been, which is a laughingstock, as you mentioned, a rap lyric, a joke in a rap song for the past 25 plus years, to get them to the place where they are. And it doesn't seem like this is a fading thing. Josh Allen, the improvement in the accuracy is so crazy. And it's not just because he has Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley playing at really, really high levels right now. What they have done is taken such incredible strides to where they're a legitimate player in the AFC right now. And I think if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan, you got to be a little bit nervous about looking for your next offensive coordinator. It's going to be able to keep pace with teams like the Bills and the Chiefs.
As we go toward free agency, Buck Rising with us from A to Z Sports. Corey Davis, I think, is going to get paid a lot of money by somebody else. I think he's gone. Never say never, but I think he's gone. Johnny Smith, I think, is a guy that they could target and maybe get back. Jayon Brown also in the where do you stand with some of this free agency stuff as we head toward that part of the season?
See, I think that a lot of people are looking at the wide receiver position and saying, well, if you just cut Adam Humphries and replace that $9 million a year contract with Corey Davis at $9 million a year, well, then you can make it make sense. But what people don't seem to understand, or at least largely based on my interactions on social media, which the internet is a dumb place, so maybe it's not indicative of everybody, but cutting Adam Humphries only gets you back about $2 million on the cap. Like, it's not like you just get to wipe away that contract. That's not something that's going anywhere. As a result, I think that they are better off drafting and trying to keep themselves more financially healthy without another big wide receiver contract on the books that's not named AJ Brown. Jonnu Smith's career has been largely inconsistent. And I know he's such a flashy, like, big play, big moment player that when he does these things, like catch a 63-yard pass on the first play from scrimmage against the Jags, like, he really, really stands out, and people associate that with kind of consistently good play. That's not been the case for him, and I understand that things that the tight ends were asked to do were affected by how bad the offensive line depth was at the end of the year, or how they were kind of struggling with needing to help the offensive line depth at the end of the year. But I think that that kind of benefits the Titans from being able to do a financially palatable deal for him. And also given the fact that all of the tight ends are free agents at this point, so you're going to be able to have a little more flexibility. If you don't bring all of the veterans back, draft a few, find an undrafted free agent, and keep one of your key pieces like Jonnu Smith and hope that he can develop even further. Jayon Brown, I thought initially that you could live without him with David Long, and I, going back and watching Game Pass the last couple of weeks since they've been off and I've had time to review film a little more, David Long is just too reactionary of a player that it's a detriment to you. When it comes to defending the pass, it's a problem with Rashawn Evans. It's a problem with David Long. And that's where you really, really desperately need Jayon Brown for this Titans defense, is against the pass. Because what David Long does is trigger better on the run than I think any player that they have. But he is so anxious to do that, that when there are play action fakes and run fakes, that it completely takes him out of the play. I think that it's just, he's not at a point where he's ready. And I think that you would like Jayon Brown to have a little more command of this defense as somebody who's tasked with being the play caller. But what the skill set represents right now is something that you cannot afford to lose, given what Rashawn Evans also seems to show as a deficiency.
Good stuff. You got internet work coming up?
Yeah, we'll have a primetime show tonight at 8 p.m. on the socials. At A to Z Sports is where you can follow us. We'll be talking all about Jeremy Pruitt and everything that has happened over the course of the day. And there is a lot of good written content being pumped out at A to Z SportsNashville.com. Zach Reagan, our great Vols writer, has a lot of good stuff going on there. So keep an eye out for that at A to Z Sports.
There you go. Buck Rising joins us weekly Mondays at 5:15 or 18 or 19, whenever he shows up. I mean, had to.
That felt like such a shot. I'm sorry.
Back to your trolling, Buck. Back to your trolling.
Comes
enjoy.
Out of a place of love, Buck. You're still the banana suit wearing Indiana fan to us.
Goodbye, friends.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
John Bryce coming up. AD's coaches, Tennessee's in the market. For John Bryce, all over. That's next, 104.5. 3HL on 104.5, the zone. Crazy day in Knoxville. We all saw it coming. And certainly this guy saw it coming. John Bryce, footballscoop.com, among other things. TSSAA.org does some Notre Dame stuff, too. Bryce, what's up? How are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. It's nice to be on the airwaves with you. I wish we had more enjoyable topics to discuss.
At John D.
I
Bryce,
think this
one.
Is pretty enjoyable. I mean, a lot of people go back to 2017. Yeah,
a UT coaching search.
Entertaining.
Yeah, entertaining for sure. Well, unfortunately, there's never any dull moments on Rocky Top. So definitely entertaining, but. Not necessarily enjoyable, especially with the magnitude of everything that's going on at Tennessee and the potential severity of this probe into things.
Yeah, I can't remember a school hitting itself over the head as hard as Tennessee did today. With an AD stepping away, a head coach, two assistants, and seven staffers, I haven't seen anything like that. Have you?
No, and especially when you consider that all those people were removed today. While the current sitting AD sat there and said that he thought recruiting had done good. So I thought that was maybe the most vexing or perplexing moment of the entire press conference. But, yeah, it's obviously Tennessee very much fired a preemptive strike today. We'll see if it will be enough. I have a tendency to believe that probably individual penalties on some of those people will be far harsher than what become Tennessee in the coming weeks and months from this investigation.
Bryce, you've covered this program a long time and obviously doing work now on footballscoop.com where you're covering everybody. But this Tennessee program, Tennessee fan base over the last 12 years, I mean, this is a fan base that needs its school leadership to stabilize itself. I mean, this is crazy what this fan base has had to go through.
It really is crazy, and I've written about it, particularly in the last couple of weeks, fairly extensively. You know, the next head coach, I believe, will be Tennessee's ninth head football coach since 2008, when you factor in interim Kippy Brown, interim Jim Chaney, and interim Brady Hoke. And so it's and the next AD will be the fifth AD in literally a decade since Mike Hamilton stepped away in the summer of 2011. And then there have been a number of changes on the other pertinent campus leadership positions, be it president or chancellor. So it's not been isolated to athletics, but it's been a mirror image of dysfunction in a lot of ways. And that's why I do give Dondi Plowman a lot of credit today. I thought she handled herself incredibly well, looked like a really strong leader. And I thought she did a very, very nice job today. And I think that Tennessee fans can take some comfort with the way that she handled things.
John Bryce with us, footballscoop.com. Bryce, Tennessee obviously is going to go hire an AD first. Number one, how quickly do you think they get that done? Number two, what are some names you're hearing with regard to the UT AD search?
Yeah, I think they can get it done relatively quickly. We saw Boise State just recently had said it was kind of going to take its time hiring an AD, and it targeted a March timetable, and then all of a sudden lost its football coach and hired an AD in incredibly short order, and then turned around and hired a football coach right after that. So I think Tennessee has the capacity to do that, especially having been proactive enough to have already retained a search firm, Parker Executive Search, that can help on both fronts sometime last week. So I think Tennessee there probably have already been some conversations with potential athletics leaders, the same way that I believe that Tennessee people have been reaching out in the last week to 10 days, perhaps even a little bit longer, at potential football candidates. You would look at John Gilbert of East Carolina. He's a name being mentioned by a number of people, and I can't stress enough how much Rick Barnes absolutely loves John Gilbert. So I would keep that in mind as Tennessee goes through this process. I think Brad Lampley right there in Nashville probably already should have been Tennessee's athletics director, would not have his alma mater in this mess if he was Tennessee's athletics director right now, and also has a nice relationship with Dondi Plowman, Randy Boyd, and various other leaders throughout the state of Tennessee that are integral forces for UT. So I think Brad Lampley is another person. I don't know if Brad would take it right now because he's got a son there on the football team, and it is such a mess, but I know few people who love Tennessee as much as Brad Lampley. David Blackburn probably should have also had the chair already. He didn't. Maybe Blackburn comes back even in a number two role. I'm not sure. He would be an incredible asset. And then just before you guys got me on the phone and I published my candidate hot board, a source I trust immensely texted me and said Mitch Barnhart. And I said, you hearing that? Or I should have him on my candidate board. And this person told me both. And so Mitch Barnhart has deep ties to Tennessee. He was there under Doug Dickey. He's a great AD. That's probably shooting for the moon if you're Tennessee.
Yeah.
Everything going on.
I mean, that would be huge. A huge hire for Tennessee. Wow.
Weird things going around that going on with that basketball program right now. So, yeah.
Kentucky, yeah.
John Bryce, footballscoop.com with us.
Coaching kind of names that have come up. It's going to be hard because you got to have an AD in first, I think, obviously, to make it work. But from that standpoint, what are those names that you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think Doug Marrone, I know Cole Kubelik tweeted recently that Marrone was maybe in play at Alabama. That's a confusing situation on the Alabama offensive line coach because it looked like the Tide was going to hire Stoutland from Philadelphia. So that's something to monitor. I think there's a lot of Doug Marrone backers involved with Tennessee, some people that believe he would bring very much a sense of stability to the program and also could put together a good staff. So he's a guy. Look, Hugh Freeze, I don't think it's any secret Hugh Freeze would love to have the job or love to have an opportunity at the job. And Hugh does have some people in his corner with strong Tennessee ties, but it's also obviously he has the NCAA penalty that he served, and I'm flat out told what Hugh served his penalties for pales in comparison to what's going on right now. So that's the popular pick with fans. I don't know that he's realistic. I think that's the pick that would perhaps send a strong message about Tennessee being very serious right now. There's some other candidates there, Jamie Chadwell, Billy Napier. Both those guys are Tennessee natives that are two of the hottest names in coaching right now. But just like the athletic director search, it's not just who can Tennessee hire, but who is willing to allow himself to be hired by Tennessee. And I think that's a great mystery right now.
Bryce, love it, man. Glad to have you on, brother. Appreciate the info, and we'll be following along. Footballscoop.com. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Miss you, boys and girls, and hope you have a great night. Take care.
Thanks, you go, Bryce. John Bryce, footballscoop.com. You want to stick around? How about 3HL at 6 next on 104.5?